Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Glenn Van Zutphen with you. Time now for Why It Matters. We turn our attention to cybersecurity, and we're putting the automotive industry in the spotlight.
Yeah, everyday manufacturers and industry players are trying to uncover breakthroughs in technology and innovation, as we know, right? From a blueprint of electric vehicles, autonomous vehicle systems that bring us just another gear closer to a full driving experience that is automated with sensor technologies, computer vision, so much more going on in this space.
You know, you mentioned that, and you can imagine cyber criminals recognizing that the data that these automotive companies have to offer from, you know, intellectual property, customer, employee, personal identifiable information or PII to financial data, that is invaluable.
Well, all of this data has value on the black market, right? This highly protected IP, such as design schematics, advanced technologies being put in to some of these vehicles. Somebody can make a lot of money off this.
that's so true.
If it gets into the wrong hands.
Yeah. Right? The automotive industry is also susceptible to things like ransomware attacks. So basically, you have cyber criminals threatening to release compromised data that, you know, they gain access to, like how you mentioned that they would. Pay up or you won't get your data back.
Yeah, but let's focus in on an industry where you may not have thought about this happening, and that is the automotive industry. Is this something new?
Well, let's find out from Kumar Ritesh, who is the CEO and chairman of Cyferma. Kumar, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for having me here today.
Yeah, this topic has Glenn and I really curious. Cyber threats on the automotive industry. Is this a new thing? Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting, actually, question. And really what we have started to witness, if you see, as you was rightly saying, you know, there's a lot of innovation which is happening right now in automobile industry, and especially, you know, as you was rightly saying, towards automation, towards autonomous vehicle, towards ecosystem of the vehicle itself, which is all being digitized now. And cyber criminals see very clear opportunity here, how they can actually capitalize on this. And that's why you see, at least from last couple of years, great focus from cyber criminals towards automobile companies, because clearly there is a clear gain there on intellectual property. You've got a clear gain around data. You've got a clear gain around, you know, how you have been managing your actually vehicle. There's a lot of analytics which is being now embedded into vehicle system, which they have got a lot of interest into.
Kumar, Glenn here. Good morning. When you look at this, you've just mentioned a couple of different areas that pique some interest to me, and that is one on the corporate front, right, where you've got cyber criminals perhaps attacking the servers of GM or Ford trying to get their corporate secrets. On the other side, you've got the data collection that happens actually within the vehicles themselves, which might provide an interesting insight into consumer tastes or patterns. Is one or the other of these more at risk or more valuable to the hackers?
Hey, Glenn. Very nice to meet you. Well, you know, the way we have observed, actually the interest of cyber criminals are two ways. They are surely looking at getting into corporate environment so that they can get hold of intellectual property, new innovation, which is happening within automobile industry. But on top of it, as we have gone about actually creating the whole ecosystem, you know, you trying to manage your home sort of environment from your vehicle cockpit. You know, you're using Wi-Fi, you're using Bluetooth.
Right.
And that seems to be quite a matter of interest for cyber criminals, because you are actually collecting a lot of behavioral data related to consumers, and that is a gold mine for cyber criminals. And surely they are looking now all of a sudden that data as well, and how they can potentially capitalize on those.
See? Told you not to be lazy. Memorize the route home. Well, but no, you got to key it into your GPS.
Well, I'm worried about them being able to hack into my phone, though, right? Through the car systems, right? If my phone is connected via Bluetooth, for example.
It's very true. Yeah. Actually, Kumar, so Glenn and I mentioned we are really surprised by this topic and the fact that cyber criminals are going after this industry. in that kind of surprise, maybe we don't think that, you know, it's something that it's an industry worth anything where information is concerned. Was this industry sort of letting its guard down in this sense? You know, maybe more people think the same way. Ah, it's just cars. And how urgent is it for the automotive industry to ramp up its cybersecurity?
Yeah, no, it's a great question you ask. And we have seen actually a clear footprint. See, the way automobile industry has actually evolved, instead of being a hardware company, now most of the vehicle company is a data company, if you look at it, quite frankly. You know, you've got your keys by which you can open the door, you can manage your environment within your car, you can actually manage your home environment, your computers, your fridge, your telly, you name it. And it has become actually a way by which the way you have started to live your life. And that is a matter of interest for cyber criminals because that's a very important data. They can get a lot of actually details from that data about behavior of a person, behavior of a locality or a nation. The way they behave, and that's quite valuable. And we have clearly witnessed number of cases where, you know, cyber criminals were not only able to get into corporate environment, but they were also able to actually target some of these cloud-based systems where data is being collected from those individual cars. And they were able to take out that data and all the analytics around those data, and they were able to use that for the next round of cyber crime against those individuals.
It is. This is just blowing my mind. We're talking to Kumar Ritesh, CEO and chairman of Cyferma, about cyber criminals in the automotive industry. We saw last year that Tesla was being questioned by the Chinese government. They're not going to allow their high-level officials to drive a Tesla because of all the data and information that Tesla brings in from each individual car, where they're going and all that. And Tesla has a lot of control over their cars from that. Now, if we go forward, can a hacker actually hack into a car and, for example, if you're driving along, stop the car on the freeway?
Whoa.
Or, you know, change your direction or in some way impact your travel experience?
Yeah, well, I think there's a number of experiments which has been done there. Now, we have not seen a live case where, you know, cyber criminals were able to actually break into a running car and they were able to change the course of the car.
Hmm.
But if you look at the experiments which has been done on a number of automobile companies, and especially looking at the way they have digitized their ecosystem, 100%, I think we are actually arriving to that situation too. It's not very far. It's not that far, quite frankly.
Hey, Kumar, you've seen so many cases. Any chance you could give us one example of a case where a company was hacked, for example, a car company was hacked? I mean, what should the people in this company do? How should they react and what steps should they take?
Well, we have seen, now I can't name the company,
of course.
Absolutely, we have seen actually three cases just in the last 7 months. These cyber attacks were orchestrated on automobile company. One of the case which I want to highlight again, this was a cloud infrastructure of an automobile company where they were actually collecting all individual car-related data. And cyber criminals went about actually breaking into this cloud infrastructure. They actually encrypted the whole environment. They exfiltrated the data first. That's the new culture in ransomware gangs, you see. Mm-hmm. They went about exfiltrating the data. They encrypted the data, and then they started to demand ransom. And surely this car company was under a soup because, you know, this was a new feature which they were about to launch into their cars, and that was already hijacked by cyber criminals. You know, most of the time when we actually manage these sort of cases, and we are kind of, you know, the way to kind of look at us, if you look at what we do at Cyferma, we are a threat discovery and cyber intelligence platform company. We kind of, you know, monitor cyber criminals, we monitor their campaigns, we monitor their tools, methods, techniques, arms, and emulation on an everyday basis. So we kind of know how these cyber criminals are trending and where their interests are. And the way to go about this is, you know, we always advise actually, you know, companies to make sure that, well, when you are actually embarking towards managing big data, huge amount of data, make sure you have got all layer of protection going towards that data lake. Make sure that while you've got appropriate understanding of your external threat landscape. I think the real problem here is what I see is we are pretty smart in looking after our internal network. We keep boasting new security controls from perimeter to network to data to systems. But what we really miss out is the outside in view, like what cyber criminals are really working on, what are some of their core strengths, how do we combine that forces with our internal capability. And that will be one of my advice to automobile companies. And we always go about actually advising that.
Kumar, I think, it's pretty, I think, well understood. We all need to beef up our security, our processes and all that. But how exactly do you do that? Are you using white hat hackers to try to get into your clients and see where the vulnerabilities are? Is it as simple as a software fix, or is it about maybe keeping sensitive information offline in separate storage servers that aren't connected to any network? What are some of the practical steps that companies can take?
Yeah, so look at it this way. See, first of all, let's understand your external threat landscape. What I mean by that, if you're going for a war and if you are preparing yourself for a warfare where you are preparing yourself with a knife or a sword, and on the other side, your enemies are with nuclear warhead, then you're not going to win that war for sure.
Yeah, don't take a knife to a gunfight, right?
Got it. Exactly. So you need to be aware of that, what sort of fights you are getting into, and what are some of your core strengths of your enemies, and what are some of their weaknesses. And you need to apply that insight into your cyber posture management, which is then you're looking at your strategy as to how do you go about boosting up your strategy, how do you go about enhancing your processes, your people, and your technology bit to better prepare yourself. Now, quite many times when we actually look at this, we kind of go about advising our client and customers to kind of combine their internal capability with external capability, and as well as have a layered defense strategy, whereas you're not actually letting somebody come into your organization and then giving them a free flow to come to your crown jewels. You should actually build enough resistance before they can hit to the crown jewels. Now, there is no silver bullet out there by which, there are tools which can give you 100% guarantee warranty that all cyber criminals won't be able to get into those crown jewels. As you can imagine now, cyber crime communities have evolved. You've got a lot of actually involvement from state groups who have got all the money in the world, who has got all the time in the world, and they've got the biggest possible infrastructure to come and attack us.
And, car companies are taking this very seriously. Mm. I mean, you've got the likes of Mitsubishi Motors that is tapping on CypherMAR to boost, cybersecurity in this area. I know it's still early days, but how's that relationship been?
No, it's really good. Like, the way we kind of got it started there, if you look at it, I think there was one problem with Mitsubishi Motors, which actually they realized quite quickly. They are pretty good in managing their internal environment. What they were really lacking was understanding of their outside world. And CypherMAR is really helping them to understand, who are those enemies, what are their core strengths, what are they actually looking at targeting towards actually Mitsubishi Motors. What are some of those, attack types which they are preparing, and how are they going to attack? That's what we actually provide to our client and customers, and that is the case with Mitsubishi Motors as well.
Amazing. Kumar, I've got a final question, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time if this puts you on the spot. If you can't answer the question, I completely understand. Maybe it's an opinion question. Let's see how this goes. Kumar, if I'm an automotive company and I'm a victim of a cyber attack, should I pay the ransom or not?
Hmm. Well, my first position will be no, but we have also seen situations where, your core intellectual property has been hijacked. And in those situations, we, even if being a cybersecurity company, sometimes we do go about advising companies to pay the ransom and get access to your data.
Yeah. Okay. We've been speaking with Kumar Ritesh, who is CEO and chairman of CypherMAR. Kumar, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.